Good morning to each one of you, those of you who are here in person, and also those of you who have joined us on the telephone, that you're able to be part of us that way. We certainly welcome you as well. I'd like to read a passage this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17 to begin with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. This is Paul's charge to Timothy, that he addresses Timothy in the ministry from prison, and the verses go like this. To Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Just recently, in September, while Bonita and I were in Seattle visiting Tara, I received an invitation in the mail. It was to a class reunion, a high school reunion, 45 years ago. Now, the time in which to respond to whether I was going or not happened while I was gone as well, so needless to say, I didn't go. Good chances I probably wouldn't have anyway, just simply from some of the experience of past history from a reunion from the graduating class that I was in. But I received that invitation, and my mind had to go back to those years in high school when that pertained to that particular class, and I think about the education that I received in the public schools. I certainly learned math. I learned English grammar. I learned nouns and verbs. Did I really, huh? Nouns and verbs, adjectives, adverbs, you know, in all the mechanics of putting together a sentence and to write a composition. I learned how to read. I learned some general business practices of how to balance a checkbook, how to function with a ledger, and various things that are necessary to function on a day-to-day basis. Now, I don't know if they teach all of those things anymore. I'm not sure some of the simplistic adding and subtracting in your mind or on a piece of paper is even taught anymore, because if you've ever been to a grocery store and if the cash register malfunctioned, the young cashier stands there with, "What do I do now?" Because they have trouble comprehending within their own mind how to add and subtract some simple numbers sometimes. But when I think back about that, I think that since that time, I've grown up and matured. And so this morning, as I look at the aspect of the message this morning, life after graduation. Here I am. I'm living life after graduation. Now, we still have a few people here this morning that haven't graduated from high school yet, but most of the rest of us have. And so we are living life after graduation, after graduating from high school or college or whatever additional schooling that we may have had. when we look at and think back at the classroom, this illustration talks about the idea a physics teacher said to his class. He says, Isaac Newton was sitting under a tree and an apple fell on his head and he discovered gravity. And he said, isn't that wonderful? And the student replied, he said, yes, sir. If he had been sitting in a classroom looking at books like us, he wouldn't have discovered anything, would he? You know, that speaks to the idea that even after the classroom, we still need continual learning and education because we don't learn at all there in the classroom. You know, I can think through the years as my experience of working and repairing trucks. I can remember when I worked at Highway Motors in the dealership there, that I learned on the job at other private locations and garages. And I can remember going to work there, and we got some new people that were hired fresh out of technical college. And, you know, you talk to them a little bit about all the things they had learned and knew how to do, but it was consistent with all of them. If you give them a truck to work on and tell them to take that wheel off, none of them could take it off. They learned about how to rebuild a fuel pump and some of the things that were very technical in training. They were trained on doing those things, but some of the dirtiest, difficult jobs weren't taught. Why? Because they're not very attractive to entice someone to come to a training institute, technical institute, if you're going to take off dirty wheels and work on brakes, which is a significant task in the truck and maintenance industry. Did we learn anything from school? When I look back, yes, I learned math, and I learned writing, reading, history, business principles. And even when I went to school, there was some moral principles that I learned from some of the teachers. Why? Because they were godly teachers and instructors. I remember some of those moral principles. I can remember that was a time when prayer was acceptable in school. And giving thanks to the Lord that we did every morning, and some teachers in particular, that's the way their classroom began every morning, in giving thanks and praying. There's also certain trades and skills that we learn in school. We learned work responsibilities and the responsibility for doing your own work. And certainly basic principles of how to function with math, adding and subtracting. And no matter what you did learn, or maybe what you didn't learn, life continues on after graduation, doesn't it? Life continues on. So what happens next? You know, when I look over the number of years since I graduated and have seen some of the persons I went to school with and their experiences in life and how we share what we're involved with, there's four particular things that for me have been basic principles of life.
They went home and got my clothes. Do you think?
And the first one is
let me go back to the party. No.
The Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, that's an important aspect for all of life, to seek the will of the Lord. Above all else, seek God. You know, I can reflect on some of the persons I went to school with. There are a couple doctors, there are a couple lawyers that I know and are acquainted with. There are other persons that went into the workforce and have skilled tasks, and there are nurses, there are cashiers, there are other various aspects of persons that I went to school with that became involved with. And, you know, there are some who have sought the Lord. That became a commitment in their life. Seek the Lord. But you know, there's a lot that didn't. That's not a principle of life, to seek him first. What does that look like? Seek God first. What's our major goals in life? You know, I can remember that that was a big thing in school as we approached the end of the year. What were your goals in life? What did you aspire to accomplish? How are you going to be successful? You know, we ask ourselves still that question today. Is knowing God an important goal that we have in life? Or is it to know ourselves better? You know, our world certainly talks about the idea of improving self and all these self-help books that have been authored and are so prevalent in our culture. But you know, there's really only one book that we really need to be studying on, and that's the Bible, the Word of God. And in seeking the Lord, that's the book that needs to be prevalent and foremost and importance in our life so that we are continue to learn and to know God and who He is, not just ourselves. An illustration I have is about an actress, and her name was Shirley MacLaine. And she wrote one time, "The most pleasurable journey you can take is through yourself. The only sustaining love is with yourself." I don't know about all of that. Some years ago, she even wrote a book entitled Out on a Limb. And some people thought she was out of her tree or else that limb broke off and she hit her head because she was so involved with self-meditation. And involved with the practices of darknesses. And so many even fellow actors said that she was the most obnoxious person that they ever had to work with. You know, the reason she and many others have so much trouble in life is because they focus on self. They're so self-absorbed and so self-focused that they just struggle in life in so many areas. But when we get our eyes off of ourselves and on God, life changes for the better. Just as Matthew 3:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you." The things of life, the provisions of life, when we trust God, when we get our eyes off self and on God, life changes for the better. We pray, we worship. We read and meditate on God's Word, on Him, and on His goodness and His mercy and grace that He's made available to us. You know, so the first principle is seek the Lord. The second thing is to continue our education. You know, when we read this passage in 2 Timothy, especially beginning at verse 12, as Paul points out to Timothy, he says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Wow, continue on in our education. And it's primarily, as Paul talks about, it says, you know what you've learned from the witnesses. You know what you have learned from Scripture, to stay steadfast in that. Even in the first part of this passage that Paul said, you know the kind of life I lived. You know the struggles I've had. You know the persecutions I've had. And you know the deliverance that God has given me. And it says, yes, the Lord has rescued me time and time and time again. See, when we seek the Lord, He'll provide everything else. He'll see us through day by day. Continue in our education. Remember what's valuable in life through our experiences that we've shared with one another in the body of believers. The more we love God, the more we love God, the more He will reveal Himself to us and be faithful in His promises. You know, we recognize that the Bible is truth, the Word of God. We live in a culture when there is so much about it trying to discredit the Word of God. But we do know and understand that God's Word, the Bible, is His written word, and it is authoritative. It is the truth. It is the only truth that we'll find in our culture and society today, and they try to disprove it. You know, we know of the examples of faithful men and women that have went before us. For those of us who have spent most all of our life here in this church can look back in the past and remember the faithful saints, the brothers and sisters of the Lord that have went on before us, who lived a life that was honoring God and who instructed us. You know, I think about the days of the Sunday school classes downstairs, and I remember so many of those Sunday school teachers who were willing to prepare and to take their time to teach us as children the truth in the Word of God. You know, many of us could go back and name them by name, and some that have passed on, and there are still some here this morning that I can remember who were my teachers years ago. My mother, for one, Alda as well, over the years, who was a Sunday school teacher for many years. And certainly we have those examples of faithful men and women who were willing to serve the Lord in the capacity they were called. Let's continue on in learning more of God's plan and purpose that He has for each one of us. You know, many of you involved in the program of reading through the Bible in a year, that's something that we need to do year in and year out, and not just that reading alone, but other additional reading and preparing to share God's Word. Be wise in the ways of this world and culture. You know, there's books that talk about our relationship to the Lord and how we are faithful to that in our own culture and society. You know, I think that we need to be aware of what's happening round about us. I don't think we need to focus on the news at a national level, but we need to be aware of what's going on, and we need to allow the Spirit of God to reveal to us how to address and how to be faithful witness even in the world and culture that we live. I think it's important for us to continue reading the Word, and I think it's important for us to listen to other people's life experiences, learning from them. You know, there's nothing that will lift our spirits more than hearing the testimony of someone else, how the Lord has answered their prayers in just the past week or just in the past month. There's a real blessing in that. And sometimes we fall short in proclaiming and sharing with one another the blessings that we have in answered prayer and how the Lord has seen us through some of the simplest things in life. But we do need to hear and learn from others the faithfulness of God day in and day out. We need to continue to learn from one another in our experiences together as we faithfully serve the Lord. We need to know what is effective in witnessing and what isn't. You know, I'm excited to hear from Carl and Miriam when they get back about their experience this past week in the ministry, in the prison ministry. I want to hear how the Lord works. I want to hear about how the Lord worked through their ministry and their willingness to go and to serve. Praise God that He calls us and our faithful men and women who do respond. I have a little short story here about an elderly couple that were faithful. This story comes from Steve Shepherd, is the man that wrote this illustration, true story. Otto and Elsie Murphy were an elderly couple in a church in Iowa. It was a small town in west central Iowa, and it was a farming community. Otto had previously been a small farmer but was retired. He and Elsie didn't have much materially speaking. They lived in an old little house in town, and they didn't do a whole lot of socializing except for the church. But they were faithful to Christ and to the church. They never missed a service. They never missed a Bible study. They never missed a concert or an evening meeting. If we announced that there was going to be a special evening meeting, Otto and Elsie were always there at church, even if no one else showed up. Old Otto couldn't sing on tune to save his life, but he still would occasionally sing a solo. Both Otto and Elsie were willing teachers. If no one was willing to teach a men's class or a woman's class or a Sunday school class, they would. They weren't bossy, and they didn't try to run the church. They were there to serve any way they could. I can still hear Otto pray, "Lord, we know not what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow." Otto died of a heart attack while going to pick up an older blind man for church one Sunday morning. Now there's a man that we could look up to and learn from. It's the testimony of Steve Shepherd. You know, when we think about that, a simple elderly man willing to serve the Lord any way they could. Even when nobody else would, they would. You know, I think about the aspects that sometimes we think we're too busy. Sometimes we think, well, the job's too small. Or sometimes we think, well, maybe somebody else will do it. Well, somebody else maybe always could. But we need to be willing to serve where God calls us, even if it's a small task that seems insignificant. If God asks us, we need to be willing. We need to continue our education in hearing God speak to us and giving us direction in life through His Word, through His Spirit, through His Spirit, through the experiences of others. We need to continue in and growing and knowing who God is and what His purpose and plan is for us. Because I don't know what else the Lord holds for me in life, and neither do you. God may call us to something even more than we're doing already. The third principle that I'd like to look at this morning is to love people. Love people. Matthew 22, verses 36 and 39, which I've printed out here, so I won't spend so much time looking it up. Jesus was asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." We are to love God with our whole being, with everything, mind, heart, soul, everything we got. We need to love God and to love people. And to love people. The more we love God, the more we'll be able to love people. And we are to love others regardless of the vocation that we're in or the work that we do, wherever we are in life. God put us here to bless others. And that honors God when we love Him and love others. What's that mean? What's that mean to love others? It means greeting them. That means being polite, helpful, quick to serve them. And even in the sense of in the workplace to give them good service. Bonita spent many years in the grocery business and was a front-end manager at Kroger, and she worked for Kroger for 30-some years. It's the only job she ever had that she began while she was still in high school in Waynesboro. And there was one thing that she always talked about and still talks about, that in the days of working for Kroger, the customer was always right at that point in time. And it was different working at the grocery store then than it is now. Every time we go to Kroger and she sees what some of the people up front and the cash registers and baggers are doing, she says, "You know, when I worked here, you'd got fired for that kind of action and activity and disregard for customers and ignoring them." It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. The customer was always right. And sometimes the customer just needed some help finding something. Sometimes there were customers that were pretty difficult, that wanted to argue or were wanting something for nothing. That was reality. And certainly there were some that were very difficult. You know, then when we think about loving people, there are some people that are relatively easy to love, and you can help and minister beside them, and yet there's other people that's very difficult. There are people that just simply rub us the wrong way, and yet there's no exception. We are to love one another, to love our neighbor. No exceptions. Bonita even talked about some of the most difficult people to deal with and to love was fellow workers. They were so disgruntled and unhappy, and what a tremendous struggle it was to work with some persons. And sometimes it wasn't the customers that stole the most, it was the employees that stole more than the customers. Not just in material merchandise, but in time. Time by not working, doing what they should have been, going and hiding. In Philippians 2, 3, and 4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of us should not look only to our own interests, but also to the interest of others and the well-being of others." You know, to love people means that we tell them the truth. And sometimes the truth isn't what they want to hear. And that's confrontational. Now, granted, it needs to be done in love, but we need to be people as God's children to be truthful and in love, sharing the truth if it's what they need to hear. And sometimes it's not pleasant. Also, be wonderful if we could always just compliment people, and it's important that we do when the opportunity is right. But let's not compliment somebody who's actually living in sin about their lifestyle in some ways and purpose without, in love, sharing with them the truth and a witness of our own life and the joy that peace we have because of our relationship with the Lord. Let's not, out of fear, not proclaim the gospel and a witness. The fourth principle of life after graduation is go to work. Go to work. You know, we live in a culture where it seems to be that so many people want to avoid work. A father was talking to his son, and he said, "Why don't you get yourself a job, son?" And his son says, "Why?" His father says, "So you could earn some money." And his son said, "Why?" "So you could put some money in the bank and save some to purchase something and maybe even some earn some interest." And his son responds, "Why?" And his father says, "So that when you're old, you can use the money in your bank account. Maybe you won't be able to work. And so if that's the case and you're never able to work, then you'll have some money to live on." And his son's reply was, "But I'm not working now." Now, none of that makes sense. Why would you not work when you're able to? Well, that's the culture and society that we live in. I think it's important for us to work. God calls us to work. God calls us to put forth an effort. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 5 through 10, beginning in verse 6, it says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat." While many people want to relax and avoid work as much as possible, as God's people, we should always be devoted to work in general. And not just the work of our occupation, but the work of the Lord especially. We shouldn't be looking for a way out. We shouldn't be looking for a reason not to do the work that God calls us to do. Mr. Smith went to his supervisor in the front office one morning, and he says, "Boss," he says, "at home we're doing some heavy house cleaning at home tomorrow. And my wife needs my help with the heavy things, moving from the attic and the garage and moving and hauling stuff. And the boss says, well, we're shorthanded, Mr. Smith. I can't give you the day off. And Mr. Smith says, thanks, boss. I knew I could count on you. I guess he was going to have to work harder at home than he was at work. You know, I chuckled at that when I read it, but you know, that happened to me one time when I was in charge of the shop working in Broadway. A new employee came and asked, could he have the next afternoon off? And he knew we were busy. And he said, yeah, could I have the afternoon off? He lived on the family farm, and he was a young man. And he said, yeah, they want to pour some concrete, and they need some help. And he said, wanted to know if he could have the afternoon off. And he hadn't worked there very long, just a few weeks. And he must have been pretty confident I was going to say no. And I said, well, we're pretty flexible around here. If you need the help at home, yeah, you go ahead and take it off. He says, well, I was hoping you would say no. Because he didn't want to do the concrete work at home on the farm. And I was taken back. And so when I read this account, yeah, that's real. Some people don't want to do the hardest work. If there's any way out of it, they want out of it. How about us? You know, sometimes God calls us to do some pretty difficult and not so pleasant things in His name and proclaiming the truth and sharing the truth in His love. And yet sometimes we want out of it, don't we? We want out of it. But I think it's important for us to recognize that even when work is difficult, we need to be willing to do it. Whether it's in the workplace or whether it's at home, whether it's what God calls us to do. Are you a 1 mile or a 2 mile worker? This example. Do you only do the bare minimum or do you go the second mile and leave the mark of excellence with your work? People always remember the second mile. If you want to be successful in a business or anything, go the second mile. You know, so often that the word of mouth in an occupation or as an employee passes on to the next person and the next person and the next person. The same thing is true in the work of the Lord. When we go the second mile in doing the work of the Lord, people relay that to other people, the work of the Lord. And when we do it in the name of the Lord, God receives the glory and honor. You know, when we think about the idea that even going to the workplace, it's important for us that morning, that Lord, we recognize God has given us the blessing of a job, and we need to be willing to go in prepared to serve faithfully as serving the Lord, even in the workplace. You know, it may be as simply picking up trash, but let's pick up trash in the name of the Lord. So that he receives the honor and glory. Let's not skip over the little pieces. Let's get it all. So that God receives the honor and glory.
Thank you.
In 2 Timothy 3, verses 14, 15, and 17 to the end of this chapter. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you have learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God calls us to work. Even in the sense that we may be retired from the workplace and the culture, God has called us to be equipped to do the good work that He calls us to here and now and until we meet Him face to face, as long as we're able. You know, when we look at this aspect of serving the Lord after graduation, let's seek the Lord always and in all things of life. Let's continue our education, especially by learning from God's people, from one another, and from His Word, continually knowing his principles and his purpose that he has for us. And let's continue to love people. Let's be committed to love people and center on serving others and not ourselves. And let's go to work and do the best that we can, no matter what we do, whether it's in physical labor or whether it's serving the Lord in the spiritual work and ministry that he calls us to. Let's continue on and be faithful till the day the Lord calls us home. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and truth. I just thank you that you have blessed us with the ability as a body of believers to share together and to witness and minister together. Lord, we recognize that here at Bethel you have given us the ministry of reconciliation to those who live round about us, in this community, in our neighborhoods, in the workplace, in the school, wherever you have placed us, Lord, may we be faithful in serving you and to continue in faithfulness to you, seeking you first and foremost. Continue in our learning of who you are and sharing with one another, to love people and to do the work you have called us to, so that you may receive the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.